At first glance, Bombay Beach looks like a corpse that's flesh has been ripped clean off, the skeleton left to bake and rot in the flaming desert sun. It's 103 degrees on a mid-July afternoon, and not a soul is around, just a few barking dogs shouting at each other over a great distance. Most of the homes are crumbling windswept shells, their insides strewn with items left before a hasty split. Boats tipped upside down sit dry-docked in a sea of weeds on abandoned lots, and all of it is tagged with graffiti, everything coated by a thick stench you can't help but feel like you're inhaling. The ruin looks almost too perfect so as to be artificial, like this town in the California desert is a set for some Mad Max-type thriller. In fact, it's a go-to destination for filmmakers looking to shoot scenes of what the world might look like when something catastrophic wipes out humanity. But in reality, people do live here, in homes that look out of place amid the rubble.
And I was on my way back to the store because they sold me some stale Pop-Tarts, so I was going to go take them back. And I see the police go down the street, I'm like,
At the Ski Inn, the only bar in town, Steve Johnson sits under a row of black and white pictures that frame scenes of the hardscrabble. He's seen the filmmakers and the photo-taking hipsters drive in from L.A. to soak up the place, write their own lines in what he calls the poetry of decay, but never bothering to talk to anyone to put some meat back on the bones of Bombay Beach, getting back onto Highway 111 with the same ideas they came in with.
Because there's been a lot of stuff filmed down here. Just it's the desert, but they market it as post-apocalyptic. Go to Bombay Beach, it's post-apocalyptic. And that's what people take away. And people are really dismissive and a little snarky, especially like the LA people that come out here for filming and stuff. They're just like totally dismissive. And unless they spend the time to actually talk to people. Just because you're poor doesn't mean you're irrelevant. People that do the documentaries and whatever they take away from this place, they bring their preconceptions. And that's what they leave with, is their preconceptions. If they're so dismissive of the irrelevant people, because who would want to live here? So they bring that with them. So, well, who would want to live here? If they want to live here, we don't really care about them, but it's a weird place and we want to take pictures of it.
Bombay Beach would not be here if not for the Salton Sea, the largest lake in the state and one of the lowest points of the country. The sea was formed after an engineering mistake caused the Colorado River to flow into the area in the early 1900s. In a few years, the basin filled up and the lake was born, a body of water now saltier than the Pacific and home to a rich amount of biodiversity. The story of Bombay Beach, like nearly all shore towns, has been tied to the water. From the 1950s through the 1980s, the town boomed with developers constructing marinas and bars and resorts along the shoreline. It was billed as an American Riviera, an oasis in the middle of the desert where vacationers water skied and sport fished. Then the sea flooded, ruining most of the action along its shores. Now the water levels are falling because less water is flowing into the lake, as well as increasing water demand from Los Angeles and San Diego. It's possible that in several years the lake could disappear. As an omen, 2 years ago, 7 million fish died in a single day. Outside the Ski Inn, I meet Bruce Wayne, a 28-year resident who goes by the nickname Wacko because of the wild life he used to live when his breakfast was 3 screwdrivers. Like most people in Bombay Beach, he uses a golf cart to get around, and we hop in the thing and head south along Avenue A in the direction of the sea, driving along a high berm that used to keep the water out of town, but now just provides a sad vantage point. When we get to the water's edge, Bruce points to where old bars and marinas sat, places with names like Barco's and Luck of the Irish. Now everything between the berm and the sea is destroyed. The structures encased in a thick coating of salt, preserving them in a way.
I don't like the big city, you know, the big city life. All my friends are here. I don't, you know, like I say, they're all old timers. Most of them are all gone now, but what's left. And all my kids were raised here, more or less.
We drive away, and down a gully a man is wrapping a heavy chain around a hulking piece of metal.
He's supposed to be down there. He's stealing something.
Stuff like that happens all the time, he says. People here are just hanging on, but they survive. I think to myself that sometimes things that never should have been, never should have been, and wonder if it would have been better if Bombay Beach, even the Salton Sea, had never existed. Bruce drops me off back at the ski inn, and I talk to Steve, who's standing outside, surrounded by a swarm of flies.
You have a house, you have a home, and you wake up, and you eat, and you work, and you eat, and you work, and you eat, and you live. It's the same as anywhere else.
I hop onto the highway and head north, the town disappearing in the rearview mirror. Bruce, Steve, and 293 other people have made a home in the most unlikely of places. For WMUK, I'm Chris Killian.